This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information. It's time for a community interview on MPR.
This morning, I am talking to Trent Graham. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm doing awesome. Hugh, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Now, you, the primary, what do you call it, like the primary central figure of a band called Shadowcaster, and we've been getting some Shadowcaster singles sent through lately. I wanted to get you in and have a talk because, firstly, I'm enjoying the singles. Thank you very much for those. But also, this is not the first guys that I came across you, and you used to be in a band called Thistle and Weeds, which used to play for our Sounds of Summer concerts many years ago. So how did you get there from there and also, I guess, like what was it that particularly inspired you to get into music?
So inspired to do music actually is in most part thanks to my high school best friend, Dominic Ruddock. He's down in Wellington nowadays, but we wrote songs together, and it's when I got introduced to the songwriting aspect of music, and I really started to pick up and go, hey, you know what, I really enjoy doing this. And so from there we had a high school band called Cast a Shadow. You might see some similarities there. And I was in another band called Prop, which is relevant because the current Shadowcaster makeup is this prop band, essentially. So when we first met Hugh, I was studying at UCOL. Would have been my second year doing a diploma on contemporary music performance. And I got to work with some incredible musicians, including Christian Perry.
A brief digression, but just a truly ridiculous human being in terms of his ability to pick up things with strings on and make them go. He's just astounding.
You know, well, when I talk to people about musicians and who I see as like the best I've ever met, it's always, you know, Jeff, who runs Music Planet, but Perry's always right at the top of that list because I just don't understand how.
No, he's truly a phenomenon. I mean, and I know the how is probably he puts a lot of work into it, but yeah, I've seen him at jam sessions with Jeff, and Jeff will throw out, you know, a very obscure sequence of chords, and Perry will just come up with this beautiful, incredibly jazzy solo over the top of it, you know?
Yeah, just as far as guitar players go, I've never seen someone's mind work like his does, and what he manages to come up with. He genuinely is incredible. And so, like, I it's heartwarming whenever I talk to him, because when he introduces me to people, it's, this is the guy who I was in my first band with. And it's like saying he holds real near and dear, which is, you know, amazing considering what he's doing now.
Yeah, now, just to talk a little bit about that contemporary music course, because I've not been through it, but I've watched it from the outside, and it seems to me that, you know, it does generate a lot of cool bands, and maybe they don't last necessarily all that long. I mean, often with an institution like that, you get, like, as has happened here, you get, you know, your one ripple effect, and then, you know, your dozens of bands that kind of are here and gone again. But often those people stick around doing interesting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And the UCOL course, especially in the cert year, right, you're just feeling it out and you're learning a lot. And so some of the bands that get formed are there for the purpose of learning and figuring out how it works. And I don't want to say you're in a band because you've got a pass type thing, because I don't think it's that. You make lots of friendships. The amount of incredibly talented people, you know, Adam Lee, another local, fantastic, who I've worked with actually quite recently, and it's been fantastic, the caliber we actually get out of Palmerston North.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you know, you say make friends, but to be honest, like, music and by extension audio engineering, like all of the supportive infrastructure around music, that whole system runs on personal relationships, right?
Yeah, and it's such an important part. And because after Thistle, when we stopped, I didn't play music for 6 years. And so I always said I lost my ability to, for the contacts I had and kind of the networking that I'd established, it all but disappeared, what it felt like. And it is such a huge part.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if you've found this, but my experience of PAMI in particular is that there's a lot of stuff going on that you can get involved in, but if you, for whatever reason, are out of it, it takes either a lot of hanging around or a lot of kind of willpower to push yourself in and make yourself a participant in situations before you kind of find out what's happening.
Yeah, and I mean, with the Shadowcaster project at the moment, we're finding that we're not getting a lot of, you know, we're not doing heaps as far as like getting around and getting ourselves out there, but, you know, we're doing pushes to do our own thing and go, we want a gig, cool, let's book that, who can we work with? And we have quite a large online presence, which for us is probably a bigger aspect of it at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's a really interesting space because on the one hand, it makes it much easier to promote yourself as a musician because, you know, you can put yourself in front of people without having to literally put yourself in front of them. But on the other hand, the metaphor I use is it's like looking for a needle in a needle factory, like finding good music, good new music online is incredibly challenging just because of the sheer volume of stuff that's out there.
Yeah, I think, and it's a problem with being within that industry now is that you're competing with everyone and everyone's got the, you know, to get on things like Spotify and stuff isn't necessarily hard. What's hard is then finding people who relate to what you're trying to do. And, you know, I've been very fortunate in that we kind of worked it out early, and so we've got a good consistent 3,000-plus individuals a month, which maybe doesn't sound huge, and I'm not getting millions, but that's quite a big step for a band that doesn't tend to do an awful lot.
No, that is. I mean, do you have any insights about how you managed to make those connections? Because I'm sure that's a thing that people would find very interesting.
Yeah, so I think the first thing to keep in mind is that when you are going through things like Spotify, they actually have a lot of tools, an awful lot. We were fortunate in that because I deal with all the distributing and things, I looked at Spotify and saw that they had a what they call discovery mode, and they take a little bit of what your cut is, and let's not get started on how small a Spotify cut is to start with, but they push it onto their discovery and their radio, and so suddenly, you know, we're getting heard in America and Germany and UK and Russia, all over the world. It's just, and it's crazy the places you get.
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing, right? What you're talking about is the ability to lock into this idea of, like, have you heard the concept of the long tail?
No, I can't say I have.
So the idea of the long tail is it's kind of like an early internet marketing term. But the idea basically is if you look at for any what's the best way of so if you get every, say, artist performing in music, right, and you graph them in terms of their overall popularity, obviously you have your, like, people who've been established since the 1970s and are still going, they're way up here, and then you have your, like, regional bands in some, like, regional town in a country at the bottom of the world, which are way at the opposite end of the graph. But the point is that, like, even when you get down into what they call the long tail, which is the point where, you know, the numbers fall very, very slowly over time, but they're not, none of them are very big. If you're thinking about percentages on a global scale, then small percentages start to account for quite a large number of people. So what it means effectively is that even though you might be, what you're doing might be niche on a global scale, once it becomes global, that niche can still account for enough people to make it worth doing in kind of any field.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a very good way to look at it, exactly. And, like, I'm thankful we have that kind of thing, you know. It's still crazy when I go on and I I see, oh, your top place is Dublin, I think, is currently where we're sitting at the top. And I, you know, would have never thought it. But it's awesome that the music I'm writing, you know, that I ripped back with this or back at high school, is still, people are still relating to it, which has always been the biggest part for me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it, and it's like what I've found doing various things and putting them out onto the internet. I've done some writing and I've done some music, and I've not been hugely successful. Let's not kid ourselves. But like, there are a couple of things that I have done that have captured people's imaginations, and it's never quite the thing that I've made that I expect, and it never really catches people's imaginations necessarily for a reason that I understand. You know, like, you can just make this connection with someone through something that you've made, and goodness knows what they're necessarily reading into it or why it hits them quite so hard, but it's there for them, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and it's what I love about the art of music writers. It's so subjective to who it is. So while a song like Cast Shadow for me is some kind of anthem return to me starting to play again, someone else it might be totally different. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess that's what the great music does, right? Like, sometimes if you read, so I just finished a couple of months ago reading this book called Beeswing, which is an autobiography of this guy, Richard Thompson. He's an English guitarist. Another one of these just like unnatural players like Perry, just like a prodigy. But it was interesting because there are these songs that I felt like communicated quite like specific but universal kind of emotional experiences. And in the course of the book, he talks a bit about like the stories behind writing some of those songs. And some of them are incredibly specific, you know. But what makes them, I suppose, great is that they can, like, you can receive them and they can feel universal, even though he's actually talking about like this quite specific experience that he had with this one person in 1973 or whatever.
Yeah, of course. And it's definitely a thing, right? I think part of the reason we're talking is the other day I sent you through a brand new single that's coming out very shortly called Let Me Down. And that song is kind of also the catalyst for why the Shadowcaster project exists. After Thistle and Weeds, after you, Cole, I stopped playing music for 6 years. And for 6 years, I got married, I was living my married life, and then that marriage broke down. And I'd forgotten who I was, basically, and I sat there and went, well, you know, I'd really like to play some music again. I'd been thinking about it, and I just had the stuff I needed to get out because, like a lot, I bottle a lot in. And so Let Me Down is really just, from my perspective at the time, because I'd written it at work, I didn't have chords or anything, I had this melody, and I just wrote how I felt. And so, like, as far as our releases, it's the most powerful thing we've done yet, and it's real personal. And just hopefully someone else can listen to that and, you know, find the same sense of coping, I guess, that I found.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope so. We'll play that very shortly. But just to talk a bit about that song in particular, one of the things that interested me about it is that the notes said it was recorded in a church in Marton. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So Masterton was actually...
Oh, sorry, yeah, Masterton.
Myself and this band, like I said, the band was made up of us all from high school, so we went to Wairarapa College over in Masterton. And I've totally mind blank what the question was.
I was talking about the process of recording in the church and how that came to happen.
Right, so the guitar player, Chris, and his brother Daniel... their father is the pastor, I believe, at Marston Baptist. And so in high school, even, we used to use that as a practice space. And we wanted to play around with the acoustics, but there was also a live piano there, slightly out of tune, but not out of tune enough that it was particularly, you know, unusable. And it just gave this really nice feeling to the song. It was different. It captured a live room, which had lots of, you know, sound to travel. And it was, I think it was a great choice. I really love the live piano, you know. So easy to do MIDI nowadays.
Yeah, but you're right. There is something about a real instrument. And There's another guy I've read some writing from is a guy called John Wood, who was an audio engineer through the 70s and 80s at this studio called Sound Techniques in the UK. But he talked a lot about just find a nice sounding thing and put it in a nice sounding place and record it. Like his argument was always that people overthink this a lot, you know, but you could just get a thing that sounds good and put it in a place that sounds good and you'll get something that sounds good.
Yeah. And it's a lot of playing. We'd been running with the idea for a while because while we're working on that, we're working on other recordings. But we said, you know, we really want to capture this song. It's not one we actually play live. It's a bit too, you know, sad and personal for that. But I said, you know, I really want to capture the emotion that I'm trying to get across here and what I was feeling at the time. And you couldn't have achieved it with MIDI.
No. I mean, you know, people can do very clever things with MIDI. But like you say, there is something about being in the room, you know. And I've done a couple of different things. I know the guy who owns the old Christian Science Church in Church Street here, and we've done a couple of different things there. And there is something about particularly churches, because they're built fundamentally to amplify and resonate with an acoustic sound source in about the human voice range and just make it sound enormous and important. And that's really powerful, you know.
Yeah, and they are really good for that. It is quite amazing when you're in there, and just to hear how the sound travels, it really is just so cool.
Excellent. Well, look, thank you very much for coming and talking, Trent. If you if people have been listening to this and they want to, you know, keep up with everything Shadowcaster, as well as presumably there's a full length release coming at some point. Maybe?
There's a little bit of work on an EP. It was slated for next month. I think we've just pulled back a little bit, a couple of hiccups. But, you know, there is some quite different stuff coming out soon, stuff I think that's really going to define where we're going.
Excellent. So if people want to keep up to date with all of that stuff, where's the best place to follow you around the internet?
Most socials, you know, Instagram, Facebook. We have a TikTok in there as well. And lots of string platforms. But if you get us on any of those socials, we've got a link tree to everything. Our podcasts we do as a band.
Oh, excellent.
Everything.
Nice. Magic. Well, look, thank you again for coming in. And we'll play that song now. So this is Shadowcaster with Let Me Down.
Like any other two, just me and you taking on the world. Nobody could pull our hearts apart, at least at the start. But what happened to that? What happened to I will always have your back? I couldn't live without you, and now I can't escape the days where we would go holding hands, thinking to myself, this is my happy end. And I thought you were the one for me, but now I know who you are, and now I see you tried to tear me apart, leave a hole where used to sit a loving heart. So help me understand this part. If you're only gonna let me down, if you're only gonna let me down, why hang around? Is it so you can destroy my hopes, tear apart what was a happy home? Well, I hope that you are happy now, but I'll leave my feet planted on the ground. Rocked the boat, tried to let me drown while you ran away, and only left the occasional note. Couldn't do it face to face, phone call to say get out of my way, and left me broken and ruined. Life seems so empty without you, but now I'm seeing through the memories that we would go holding hands, thinking to myself, this is my happy end. And I thought you were the one for me, but now I know who you are, and now I see you tried to tear me apart, leave a hole where used to sit a loving heart. Help me understand this part. If you're only gonna let me down, if you're only gonna let me down, why hang around? Is it so you can destroy my hopes, tear apart what was a happy home? Well, I hope that you are happy now, but I'll leave my feet planted on the ground. Sometimes I'd like to know if you think about me still, if somehow you still hold on to some sense of guilt. But then I look at the sky and I don't cry for you and not for me, because I picked myself up and now I see, oh, now I see. If you're only gonna let me down, if you're only gonna let me down, why hang around? Is it so you can destroy my hopes, tear apart what was a happy home? Well, I hope that you are happy now, but I'll leave my feet planted. If you're only gonna let me down, if you're only gonna let me down, why hang around? You tried to destroy my hopes and put out the love that we had stoked. Well, I hope that you aren't happy now, because I'm still here, I'm better off without you around.
You've been listening to another community interview on NPR, also available on demand at npr.nz. If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.